Chapter 8, 16 Days of Crocodile Tears. Each year, 25th November marks the start of 16 days of activism for no violence against women and children. No one can accuse the campaign of being laconic in defining its purpose. Unfortunately, no one can accuse it of being terribly effective either. Maybe it would be more honest to call it 16 days of political virtue signaling and painful platitudes. On 25th November, high-ranking politicians head off to an expensive function where they stuff themselves with cocktail sausage rolls and cheese puffs before being ushered onto the stage to deliver a speech. They shake their heads sadly, tell us how angry, outraged, and shocked they are, spray out adjectives to describe violence against women and children, pandemic, scourge, war, pledge to eradicate it once and for all, and offer up thoughts and prayers. Enough is enough, they declare, insisting that this time we really, really are serious about eradicating violence against women. Then they exit stage left to a waiting blue light brigade. The following year, they brush off the pastry crumbs, dust off their hackneyed phrase hymnals, and roll out the great bullshit show all over again. They've been doing this since the campaign was launched in South Africa in 1998, and by now it's a wonder there aren't dancing elephants, painted dwarf clowns, and a troop of Siamese twin contortionists to go with it. Nevertheless, boxes are ticked, lips are serviced, crocodile tears are shed, sausage rolls are gobbled, and cabinet ministers take turns to make eye-poppingly appalling comments. These include, "Educated men don't rape," Basic Education Minister Angie Motshekga. "A victim is lucky to be raped by one man," Police Minister Becky Cele. "And calling a murder victim a beautiful girl, a yellow bone," Fikile Mbalula, when he was police minister. And nothing changes. Actually, it does. It gets worse. The crimes become more brutal, the police become more incompetent, and the statistics become so staggering that they resemble a war zone body count. According to the South African Police Service annual report, 3,198 women were murdered and 41,739 reported being raped in 2021-2022, which means a woman is murdered every 3 hours and 5 women are raped every hour. The statistics reduce lives to numbers and trauma to tables, graphs, and bullet points. Every now and again, though, a murder shakes the country out of its numbed indifference and reminds us that women and children bear the brunt of violence. The story of 19-year-old Uyinene Mrwetyana is one such case. On Saturday, 24th August 2019, Uyinene, who was studying media at the University of Cape Town, went to Clarence Post Office on a main road in the Cape Town suburb of Claremont to collect a package of clothes she had bought online. Luyanda Buerta, a teller, told her the credit card machine wasn't working because of a power outage. "Come back a bit later and I'll be able to help you," he said. Uyinene returned just after the post office closed, and Buerta ushered her in, locked the door, and raped her. She screamed and fought. He bludgeoned her to death with a 2-kilogram parcel scale. Buerta left her body in the post office safe, collected it the next day, put it in his car boot and took it to Khayelitsha, where he burnt it and dumped it in a hole by an unused railway track. A letter by Uyinene's mother, Nomangwane, was read out at her funeral. "I'm sorry I was not there to fight for you, my girl," she wrote, adding that of all the places she had warned her daughter about, the post office wasn't one of them. The murder of Uyinene shook the country, and thousands of furious women took to the streets. They marched to Parliament, brandishing placards reading, "Am I next?" President Cyril Ramaphosa addressed them. "I know that you are saying enough is enough. I agree with you that indeed enough is enough," he said. But Ramaphosa's words didn't stem the tide of violence and murder against women. 6 days after Uyinene's murder, Jessie Hess, an 18-year-old theology student, was raped and murdered in her home in Paro, about 20 kilometers from Clarence Post Office. A few hours before she was killed, she won 5,000 rand in a Women's Month competition on the radio station Heart FM. She told listeners she would use the money to do something special for her relatives, who had worked so hard and sacrificed so much for her. The politicians talk about legal reforms. They talk about training for police, prosecutors, and social workers. They talk about rolling out education programs and how men must do more to prevent violence. They talk and talk and talk and only stop talking to stuff cocktail sausage rolls and cheese puffs in their mouths. Oh boy, do they talk. And while they are talking, women keep being killed. On 5th June 2020, residents from Durban Deep in Roodepoort stumbled on the body of 28-year-old Tshegofatso Pule hanging from a tree. Tshegofatso, who was 8 months pregnant, had been shot in the chest, then hanged. 12 days later, in one of Ramaphosa's family meetings, he said violence against women should be considered a second pandemic, as serious as the coronavirus. Perhaps this time Ramaphosa meant it. This time, rapists and murderers would be sanitized, socially isolated in lockdown until they were no longer a danger to society. However, it was not to be. It was just more talk. 2 years after he promised to take violence against women and children seriously, and after the lives of several thousand more women and children had been snuffed out, Ramaphosa called for a second presidential summit on gender-based violence and femicide. One of the objectives of the first summit in 2018 was to demonstrate the government's high-level commitment to dealing with violence against women and children. The second summit was billed as an accountability summit, but with the high-level commitment of the first summit not achieved, there was little to account for. So the politicians did what they do best. They made more promises and ate more cocktail sausage rolls and cheese puffs. No matter what leaders say, violence against women isn't a high priority for them. There's little political will, and shelters for abused women have resorted to crowdfunding to keep going. There's a lack of cooperation between government departments, and with its low conviction rates, the criminal justice system betrays survivors. No one believes the politicians anymore. Perhaps it's time for them to shut up and stop telling lies that insult all the women and children who have been murdered, raped, and abused. The only way to regain trust is to be accountable, take responsibility, and not utter another word until you have done something and have something meaningful to say.